places where war destroy and mar humanity. We plead for peace in Ukraine, Palestine, and South Sudan, and other areas of the world. Protect and comfort those affected by climate change. We think of those that are facing the danger of forest fires or mudslides. Be especially with them. Place your hands on all those who are confused and tormented by mental illness, that walk our streets not knowing who they are, God. Hidden yet ever present God, please do for us those things that we cannot do for ourselves. Yet make us bold to do what we can for the healing of your world and the glory of your name, through Christ Jesus, our Redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading is from 1 Colossians 1, verse 1 through 4. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Thus ends the reading today. Thanks be to God. Now I'm going to put on this headset here, and I'm going to walk and preach from the floor, because I'm more accustomed to this than standing on a large pulpit. Thank you.
to advocate for change so that they could get affordable housing. Well, Shane and his friends at Eastern, they heard about this, and they heard that this group of people were going to be evicted from the church. So they decided to join them. They thought that if the students came there, that would make it harder for the people to be evicted. And they spent many days with the people that were living in that church, and they celebrated communion, they did worship services. It was quite the event. And they had some success. In fact, many of the people, they did leave the church, but they found affordable housing. And they were encouraged to do more. So as new graduates, this young, idealistic Eastern seminary students, well, they looked around at what they could do in the community. And they were living in North Philadelphia, which is a very segregated city. So if you know anything about Philadelphia, largely a lot of the white people, the middle class, moved out of the downtown areas, and so it became more a predominantly black, Hispanic neighborhood. And it was a very dangerous neighborhood, a lot of poverty, unfortunately, very sadly. And this is gonna, for some young people here, they're just gonna blow their mind, but it was such a neighborhood that few people wanted to live in, that they're actually selling houses for a dollar, right? Now, you think, well, that's a great deal. I would love to buy a house for a dollar. Why wouldn't I? Well, if you lived in, and I've been to this neighborhood, there was a lot of gun violence. In fact, when we were there, we heard gunshots go out off in the park across the street from where we were staying. There was a lot of heroin use, heroin needles in the parks, and the houses were in such poor condition, like, you know, walls and the roof and important stuff like that, that, you know, very few people would take up that offer to buy the $1 price tag. So it was here that the simple way Shane and his friends relocated. They moved, and they had an idea to start a missionary program. They were on a mission to redistribute food and clothing to the neighborhood. And I don't think they served this food to the people from the neighborhood, but one thing that was really peculiar about Shane and his friends is that they were interested in going behind businesses and grabbing what was in the dumpster and taking that home and eating it. So, you know, like day-old bread, expired food, they go in there and they grab that and they would serve it for supper. So you can imagine going to be invited over to the Simple Way house and sitting down for a meal and taking a bite of this, you know, kind of rather chewy bread and having a tomato and finding out that this piece of bread was, you know, taken from a dumpster and this delicious looking tomato is actually grown in an old abandoned lot next to where heroin needles were discarded. So, you know, for some people, this is completely bonkers. And for other people, absolutely brilliant. They started missionary activities like starting a thrift store. They advocated against the gun violence. They actually, people said, come on, bring your guns over here. We'll take them apart and we'll turn them into something else. So real beating swords into plowshares activity. And I was 20, like I was in my 20s, and I love this stuff. So I was already into it. And when I read this book, it just revved me up even more. I was so excited. I was one of those people that really thought, wow, these guys, they're really doing something brilliant. Now thinking back, like, why did that book mean so much to me and to other people that I was friends with? I think it's this. For someone that was raised in the faith, Shane and the Simple Way weren't satisfied for their faith to live in a place of mediocrity. They were not satisfied for their faith to live in a place of mediocrity. And while they claim that they are ordinary radicals, it's only because they had the bonkers, or perhaps brilliant idea, that what they were doing could be done elsewhere, that people could really live out what Jesus said about living and loving their neighbors, and it could be done by another Christian. They They were expecting with their lives that God was going to be there as a partner with them. And you saw the picture earlier of Shane with his dreads. He didn't look anything like a typical Christian. And yet, they were doing something that looked a lot like something Jesus might do. And I think that this experiment in radical Christian living actually exemplified what it means to believe this thing, this one thing that's at the title of my sermon. Faith changes everything. You can say that. Faith changes everything. So let's turn to our passage, and we're going to look at this. This passage is from Colossians 1, where we're reading. It says, the church of Colossae were also acknowledged for their faith. In fact, they had a reputation for faith that Paul had heard about it. Watch this. He says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all people, the faith and love that springs up from the hope stored up from you in heaven. Let me ask you a question. What are you known for? What are you known for? Here's something I found on the internet. This is a picture of a news story. This is a story about you. This is a story about First Baptist. Before I'd ever walked into this church, before my wife came here, we had heard that there was these news stories about First Baptist and how they were willing to share their building with people that were experiencing homelessness. And a lot of you will know the story better than me, so I won't need to tell it. You know it. But there was some neighboring, just in case you just came in recently, like me, some of the neighboring businesses on Richmond, they actually complained about what our church was doing. And then sometime later, there was a bylaw infraction that was issued telling the church to stop. And irregardless of what happened next, that willingness to share this building said something about the character of this church. In fact, it created a reputation in the city for this church, so much that someone like me heard about what was happening here. At the beginning of Colossians, Paul hears about the reputation of the church. He praises them. He has heard about their faith in Jesus and the love that they have for all people. He says that love, it sprung up from hope that they have in heaven. They've stored it in heaven. Where's your hope stored? It's stored in heaven. In writing this, Paul is saying, first, he is on their team. Paul is the cheerleader for this church. He is the cheerleader before he is their coach. Now, the Colossians church, like every church, is not perfect. And Paul is writing this letter for some important business that he needs to address. But Paul has first to tell them that God is pleased with them. And too many people today, I tell you, too many people hear the opposite. Too many people, when they think of walking in a church, they say, I can't go there. They say this to me. I'll burn up. I don't know if you've heard that before, but I have. I can't go to that church. I will burn up. But first, we know that this, God is on your team. And wherever you are in your faith, God is cheering you on. And you read through the Bible, of course, you know there's countless stories of these flawed people that served God, and God just used them. You think of Moses, one of the amazing heroes of the faith, and some of the mistakes and foibles that he had. You will read through the Bible, you will see this time and time again. You don't need a giant amount of faith to be a Christian. In fact, it's the opposite. Jesus says that all you need is faith like a mustard seed. All you need is a mustard seed of faith, and everything else will come later. You know how small a mustard seed is, right? It can fit between your fingers. I have some in my kitchen. I grind it up and make mustard. So if you came here off the street that thinking with the inclination that maybe, just maybe, God might do something for you in your desperate situation. I don't know what you're facing today in your life. But if you're in a desperate situation, you have enough faith, and God is cheering you on. God's asking you to plant that little small seed. And if you do, and believe that God is going to do something incredible, God is going to change your life for the better with that small seed of faith. You may not have the place you want to live in today, but God has a plan for that, and God is going to put you in a place that is especially made for you. You may feel lonely now, but God has a community for you to belong in. You may be sick, but God has plans to carry you and give you strength. You may be unemployed or underemployed, but God has a plan, and He's going to plant within you the strength to give you what you need and that you can give the glory to Him. Reputation. We always think of what someone's reputation is. And for a lot of people, they're carrying around labels. Maybe it's you. Someone said, oh, he's too slow. He's too young. She's too old. She's too closed off. She's too bitter. And that's going to change. With faith, God is going to change your reputation, and you're going to be known, like the church of Colossae, as someone with faith. And the way this happens is with spiritual understanding. In Colossians 1, verse 9, it says, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Just like Paul, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you this week. I'm going to pray for you again today that you receive spiritual understanding. And this is what's going to change your situation. Well, first of all, okay, what's the difference? What's spiritual understanding? What's human understanding? Human understanding looks at a situation and says, nah, I can't do this. What's the point? I can't risk it. It's not worth it. Spiritual understanding is that important part of faith. It looks at a situation and says, God's in this. I'm going to do it. I'll trust. Spiritual understanding connects with the bigger picture of only what God knows. It pulls out from the invisible and makes it visible. It makes the invisible visible. That's what spiritual understanding and faith does. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story from my own life and how it worked for me. So 8 months ago, I was working a job, and it was a great job. But I had this inclination that I needed to do something. I was about to head off on a train trip. I love trains. I was just on a train yesterday with my family. I love going on the train. So I was really looking forward to this trip to travel to Montreal to visit my brother. And the week before I left, I was thinking, you know what? I gotta pack my laptop. I had to do something. I normally like to travel light, but I packed my laptop because there was something that I wanted to do on the train. Something that was in the back burner, kind of thinking about for a couple of years, never really taken too seriously. So I took along my laptop on my trip to Montreal on the train, and while I was there, watching the scenery go by, enjoying the train, I worked on and I submitted an application to Teachers College at Western University. Now, I had a job. What was I doing? Why was I applying to full-time studies at Western? All I know is that I believe that needed to happen. I had this inclination. I did it. And I remember looking at the application cost. It was like $400. It was around that amount. I was like, that's a lot of money. And normally when you apply to schools, you apply to, like, you know, a couple schools and three schools perhaps, but I applied to one. I applied to Western because I couldn't imagine going anywhere else. There's nothing else that's gonna work for me. I can't commute, I got three kids. So I paid the money, I submitted it, I put it into the online system. Even knowing I have a job, what am I doing? But I did it. Now let me tell you this, watch what happened. 10 days later, I get a meeting that's set up for me in my office. It's like Monday morning, and I was working as a pastor, and two of the elders of the church where I was working at, they set this meeting, and we sat down. And I was surprised when they told me that my full-time position as an associate pastor was now ending, and I was going to be losing my job. I did not see this coming. And there was a lot of emotions that I had, but there was one thing that caused me to smile. I told you what. That one thing was that application that I had made to school. I said to the elders of the church, I said, you know what? You have to make a hard decision for this church, and I respect that. You don't need to worry about me. Don't worry about me. God's been good throughout my life, and I believe that God has even better plans for me in the future. And I just kept thinking about the fact that I thought that I was going to go to teacher's college. God had put this spiritual understanding in me to say, yes, I know you have this full-time job that you like, that you think is important, but the winds are changing, and I need to get you ready for what's coming, for something different. But here's a twist. If this happens to you, and you get wisdom, spiritual understanding, be aware, it doesn't happen all at once. You need to be strengthened for patience and long-suffering. So Paul writes in Colossians 1, verse 11, that account of their faith, they will be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Now, there's a biblical commentator named Max Dunham, and he splits it up like this. Says, the patience part of the scripture is the refusal to be upset by perverse people. Does anybody have perverse people? I know it's kind of a weird word, but in your life, people that are tripping you up, you know, people that are really testing your patience. The long-suffering part, which is often translated as endurance, which we read from the NIV version, is the refusal to be daunted by hard times. Now these two things, patience and long-suffering, are invaluable when you are waiting for what God has for you. And that is so contrary to what we in our culture. In our culture, we live in the culture of now. If you want something with a press of a finger and a swipe of your credit card, you have it delivered in 24 hours. Sometimes they can even deliver it in 4 hours. It's unbelievable. 4 hours, they can put it on your doorstep. And if you want to listen to a movie, a song, you can get it now. On your phone, you can watch a sports game, you can watch a movie, you can watch, listen to a song. It can be conjured on your screen in a matter of seconds. There are a few people here that will remember how different this was from when I was a kid, when I was growing up. There was no cable TV. If you wanted to watch a show, you had to wait for it. You had to wait. I had to wait every week for my favorite show coming on. We'd watch as a family. We'd watch Survivor. I don't know if anyone watched Survivor, the first series. I watched it. We couldn't wait for Thursday night. I think it was Thursday night. Came by, and we could watch what happened next. Who was going to kick off the tribe? If we wanted something like music, we had to actually go to the store, buy the CD, hopefully they had it, and then go home and listen to it. And the second part about this passage, which talks about patience, is also very countercultural today. Don't like someone anymore? Well, if you have them on social media, you can unfriend them. You can ignore or block their texts, their calls, and you never have to tell them why. They call this ghosting. So patience and endurance, long suffering, it may not come easily in our culture. We need faith. And for me, this year, March, now that was the month that I was going to find out whether or not I got into school, couldn't come faster. And guess what happened? March came, and I didn't get in. I was on the waiting list. So every person that I told, that I said to them, I'm going to teacher's college, or I'm applied for teacher's college, I think that's what I said, I had to go and say, humble pie, I didn't get in. And I started applying for jobs. March, April, May, hardly any interviews, nothing working out. Finally, in June, I get this part-time job. Well, thank God. I finally get this job, and it's way across the city. It's like a 30-minute drive for me. I'm like, fine, that's good, it's good. I'm gonna do this job, and it's less than what I'm used to make. It's good. It's good work to be done. And then I got the email that day from Western. The wait list is over. I'm in. I'm going to school in September. You need to have faith. Now, I want to say this with hesitation, because I haven't passed a single course. I haven't taken my placement evaluations yet. I haven't even done a single day of school. Even if I graduate two years, that doesn't mean I'm going to get a teacher's job here in London. But that doesn't matter. What matters is that I trusted God and believed that, and He gave me the spiritual knowledge and wisdom and patience to get here today. And God holds my future. You see, faith is not a certain outcome. Faith is not something you can, specific metrics of success. Faith is obedience. Faith is not the result. Faith is the action. I got this from a pastor named Mark Todd, Transformation Church. Look this passage, this sermon up called Mustard Seed Faith. Amazing. He said that. Blew my mind. Faith is the action. It's not the result. So what are you waiting for today? What do you need faith for? I believe everyone here walked in with just enough faith, a mustard seed of faith. That's all it takes. Now, the mustard seed is small. You could lose it before it gets the chance to grow. So don't lose it. Plant it. Keep watering it. This next decision, this spiritual understanding that has come to you, could change everything for you. And God is wanting to partner with you to engineer your future. It's by faith that God is going to show you how to do something that you never knew you could do before. And when people ask you, how is this guy doing this? All you can say is, it's by faith. It's by faith. I can praise and glorify God. And next week we're going to talk about hope. So make sure you're able to come on Sunday. It'd be great to see you, join you, or hope. And the series after that continues with love. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come with our small amount of faith, wanting results. There are some things here that we may have been praying for a long time. We have been asking so many times that we dare not ask again. But give us the faith, God. Give us the spiritual understanding to think and dream of what you want us to do, what we can be. Help us to see that you hold our future, that you know what's coming next for us, and that you want good things for us, God. You want to take that little bit of faith and make it into a mountain. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing as a responsive song, 405, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.